Mini-episode 1933 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1933. I have with you here today, FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Russ Cohen. Russ, also, of course, proprietor of Sportsology, and I believe now 12-time author. I think we've been saying 11-time author, but now 12-time author.
Yeah, my new Yankee book's out. You can go to my Amazon page and buy it. Yeah, it's okay. Really, just came out 2 days ago.
Okay. I look forward to reading the pages and pages on game four, I should say, of the 97 American League Divisional Series. I was there. One of the greatest games of all time.
I was at a few of these games, Subway Series and otherwise. And so, yeah, you know, actually, and Larry David had his own list of, like, greatest games in New York history. And he brought up the Aaron Boone game, and that is certainly in there. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, I would imagine that Larry David probably did not list game four of the 97 ALCS as I would.
No, but he had the Meto game, and he had something else. I forget. But his list is pretty good. Larry David's a pretty good New York sports guy. He is.
He does know his stuff. And again, the Jets, they'll get you. I still remember that funeral episode. Yeah. That is one of the great ones.
I haven't watched Curb. I wasn't a fan. I like people that are in it, and I like him and other things.
Okay.
I just never really caught on to it. But I am happy the Knicks won. I mean, obviously, I grew up a Knicks fan. I had a hoop in my yard, so like, did I pretend I was Dollar Bill Bradley and Earl Monroe? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
I became less of an NBA fan over time because I got more specialized in other sports. So, but I was happy the Knicks won. A lot of childhood friends were texting me. It was fun. Family members, my brother's in town. He's still a Knicks fan. So it was nice.
Well, I can be happy for you, Russ, and for Steve Callis, any other FDH Lounge dignitaries, a handful of people whilst still saying that I share, very broadly speaking, the nation's contempt for the fan base as a whole, which I have to say,
fine.
I mean, and this is a Cleveland guy saying this.
Yeah, but you're mad at the Walt Frazier. No, hold on.
A fan base, I'm prefacing what I'm about to say. A fan base that makes the Golden State fan base not look embarrassing, okay? And I'm a Cleveland guy saying that the Warrior fans.
You have an axe to grind with Clyde. That's your whole thing.
Clyde. Keith Hernandez, et cetera. Yeah. But yes. But yes, congratulations to you narrowly. The number of people that I can say congratulations to, I can count on one hand. But here to talk 2026 Stanley Cup final. We are here to do our review for that. Both of us incorrect on having picked Vegas to win the series. Yep. I will say also, too, in terms of what we anticipated for the series, especially the first half of the series, I think we probably couldn't have been more wrong because I think we were on the same page. We both looked at it like this might not be the most aesthetically pleasing of all series with these teams and what they can do with keeping the lead. Boy, were we wrong on that one because this was what Carolina did. I mean, this seems hard to believe that this hadn't been done in so long. First team in over 80 years, fourth team ever, to win by trailing by multiple goals in the final 10 minutes of regulation, the other teams being Montreal in 44, Toronto in 36, and Chicago in 31. So those first two games, the multiple goals coming back on that one, almost happening again in game three, almost the choke job that wasn't. So sort of a tale of two series when you look at this. When you look at the first couple of games versus what it settled down into.
Here's my big thing, too. Sorry.
I think that, like, to me, it's no coincidence that Carolina won once the series settled down, because I think that played a lot more to their strengths, not to be in these wild games.
But would they have won if Freddie Anderson was in. I'm not sure about that, Rick. And that's the other thing. Like, basically, they made a change because they had to. They did not want to put Brandon Bussey in, even though he was really good in the regular season. But then I understand he didn't play the way they wanted him to down the stretch. So then they went with Freddie. And then at some point, Freddie hurt his knee, but I guess he was hiding the injury and he wasn't playing well. But they didn't go to Bussey. I mean, he only played 3.5 games in the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. So it's like, and Freddie was on a good run. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, had he not gotten hurt, Bussey doesn't come in. Like, and this is not just like Rob Brind'Amour made this brilliant change. No, he did it out of necessity. And flip side, 2 games before the end, Carter Hart should have been removed.
Yes.
Like, he was setting a record for giving up 4 goals every game to start a Stanley Cup series and kept doing it. And Tortorella was just, he was just like almost negligent by keeping him in, just like, hey, I'm keeping Carter Hart in. That's my guy, whatever. But it's like, you got a guy on the bench who won a cup. He hadn't played since April. Again, that's on John because he never really got him in there when he got there. But he may have only played 1 game, whatever. I'm not sure. But the point is, you didn't use him when you could have tried. You definitely could have tried to change it up, and he didn't. And I'm not saying they would have won the series, but it definitely could have made it a longer series. So it's kind of like that was a big factor in this whole series. Some people think the series rode on the point, even though Marner had like one of the greatest outbursts of goals that we'd seen really ever in the Stanley Cup, missing the penalty shot may have been the change of the series.
It may have been. Yeah. And again, you're looking at a situation where, I mean, I'm just going to guess this off the top of my head, that you probably have right now still active in the NHL, maybe about 10 goalies who've won the Stanley Cup. So I realize Adin Hill did not have a good season at all. But right. He's one of those goalies 3 years ago. And it's not like it's 8 or 9 years ago. It was 3 years ago. So the notion that, like, I don't know if we can entrust our chances to him. Right. That was something they might have been thinking with Cassidy 3 years ago. But they pushed through it because he was unproven at the time. They pushed through it. And, again, you know, much like he had one of these runs – ironically, one of the ones that comes to mind sort of was Cam Ward in 2006. Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes you get, and you know, a young guy.
Yeah,
who
yeah, Martin Gerber was the guy.
Get it done, yeah. And so, and we said coming into the final, all these spooky echoes of exactly 20 years ago. And,
I know.
You know, between Eric Staal being, you know, the best player on that team, having his career year that year on that team, Brind'Amour being the captain.
Now Carolina's pretty much got the same locker room. Not much has changed. That's not a good thing, by the way.
Well, yeah, as far as, you know, the cheap ownership that there's been, you know, over a period of time. But it's an interesting thing, too, that it's kind of a constant with Carolina over a period of time because, again, Eric Staal, like I said, career year, but that he him being like the best player that year, they have not been a team. And one of the things that I use as a gauge for this, what I'm about to say, is the annual top 32 players in the league list that I have. And we will have coming out shortly from both FantasyDraftHelp.com, the FDH Lounge and Sportsology, Pro Hockey Draftology 2026 later in the year, Fantasy Hockey Draftology 2026. My list of the top 32 players in the league presently, not from really a fantasy perspective, but an overall perspective. Carolina, they've had, you know, SA has been sort of maybe in like the mid to late 20s a couple of years, but like that's been about it. Like Carolina's an interesting team that, like, even going out and getting Ehlers in the offseason, he's an excellent player.
Some games for him for sure.
He's a really good star, but he's not a superstar like Marner.
No.
And that's what's interesting is that, like, Carolina manages to do it without with no offense to them whatsoever, what we might call, for all intents and purposes, the elite level talent. They just do it with, you know, again, really, really good stars kind of at their high end and depth on the roster, which is, again, what's kind of funny is what I'm talking about there almost kind of sounds like, you know, Vegas circa like 2018, like before they got Eichel, Marner.
When they had the misfits, yeah.
I don't think Stone was there. Was Stone there in 2018?
No, not yet. No.
He wasn't there either. So, yeah, like it's an interesting thing that Carolina manages to win with this formula. And Vegas, again, with the high-end talent, but again, you can't make up for what's happening in net. I completely agree with you. That is one of the worst coaching blunders I've seen in a long time, as far as not pulling Carter Hart. And I will say also, too, a bungle on the ABC broadcast. It was like 10 minutes into game six where they were like, oh, by the way, Frederik Andersen didn't dress tonight.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Right.
How do you yada, yada, yada that 10 minutes into a game?
No, that's a great point. Yeah, that's – but another thing, I didn't want us to go down this dangerous road. First thing, credit to Jordan Staal. I knew there was something different about him this year. I got a chance to see him up close in Philly in the playoffs, and I was like, this is the old Jordan Staal. And not because he's old, because he is a little older, but this is like the one that, you know, years ago could score 25 goals. Sure. And he really stepped up and fixed that void that they had of secondary scoring. So yes, that was a big thing. He really did that. But I don't want us to go down this dangerous territory that ESPN went down yesterday, and I tweeted about it for basketball.
Okay.
ESPN's unhappy, or at least two out of the three guys on the panel, and of course one Stephen A., and they just could only give backhanded compliments to the Knicks because the Knicks don't have Durant. They don't have LeBron James. They don't – and Kendrick Perkins set him straight and said, it doesn't matter. They're the best team. But the problem is – With ESPN and the NBA, and the NBA gets to be very singular when we're talking about stars like Wemby and all the other stuff. The Knicks don't have that standout guy. Brunson was the closest, and he was really great in the playoffs. But you know what? They were the best team. They pulverized the competition, and it didn't matter. And so, like, the same thing with Carolina. They're the best team. It doesn't matter if they have these superstars or not. It's irrelevant.
Well, first of all, Russ, this is what you get for watching the ESPN debate show.
Well, because I was curious what they would say about the Knicks, and it went right down that path of backhanded garbage.
What's the saying? Curiosity killed the cow, or whatever it is. But
killed the cat. And there's another verse. Okay. And there's another verse after that.
Okay.
So that's not the only verse. My mother-in-law figured that out one time, and she told it to us. And okay. So, and it was something like satisfaction, something, something, something. I can't remember.
Also,
satisfaction. Hold on, satisfaction brought it back. That's the next line of it. Yeah,
okay.
I think that's what it is.
Well, I don't even agree with their premise. On the same list that I have for the NBA, I'm probably going to have Brunson number five on there this year, and highest in the East. I was going to put Cade
good
highest
for you,
in the East,
because you know, yeah, when ESPN does their list, he's not going to be in there.
But
he's not.
I do a credible one, so that's why.
I agree.
Thank you.
But I was saying, they're going to be for that. All they're going to be talking about is what team Giannis going to, and they're going to talk about all the stars, yeah, and then they'll get around to Jalen Brunson at some point. Like, oh yeah, he had a great year. But that's what they were starting to say. Like Stephen Smith is like, hey, you know, this great season, they had a great run, they were great playoffs, but he couldn't put them up with a great team like the Celtics, and it's a disservice. When you see a team just run through the competition the same way Carolina did, you now have to put Carolina up against some great teams of the past, like some of the teams of Montreal and everything else. Because in the end, it doesn't matter what you and I thought or anybody else thought. This is what they did, and they deserve credit for that.
But that's – I still say, though, the whole you're coming out of the Metro, the way that – I don't like the way they do the playoff seeding. I mean, they had a bye to the Eastern Conference Finals. They may more or less have the last couple of years. I mean, it's a lot easier when that happened.
Not when the Rangers were good, but yes.
Okay, but that's a few years back now.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, yeah. But I agree, you know, but it's just – yeah, I look at that, and I will say, if we're talking about high-end star talent, and this is a very interesting thing here as well, I don't know that any of us had on our bingo cards the playoff resurgence this year of Taylor Hall.
Who, no, nobody what was he, did. No.
What, first pick overall, I think, in 2010? Yeah. And, like, again,
Taylor over Tyler. I like Tyler better. I admit
And that's a thing where – and, again – To say that he has not had the career that people were hoping for at the time is an understatement. I mean, a couple of years there of like around a point a game.
Oh, he won an MVP. Like, he won a he won a Hart Trophy.
But the longevity was not
there.
He
won a Hart Trophy. Don't shake off a Hart Trophy.
Oh, okay. But I mean,
outside of LeBron James, how many Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, won the MVP award?
What does that have to do? did Mike Mitchell win it in 78? I'm trying to remember here, but that's
– I'm just saying because it's an important thing that he did win one.
But, like, Russ, I have to say, like, the fact that Hall is 34 and I have to stretch back in time to think when's the time he was considered a really, really, really excellent player. You know, you're not supposed to peak that early and fall off a cliff is all I'm saying.
No, so, but, you know, there's a key thing with Taylor Hall this year.
Okay.
Carolina's got a very good development program, good skating coaches, all that's top notch.
Okay.
And they got him back to skating like he used to.
Okay.
And we saw a faster Taylor Hall that all of a sudden reminded us of the Taylor Hall that used to exist.
Yeah.
And that was part of it. Like, you got to give Carolina credit for that.
I think, you know, shades of what
and
happened.
Hall for putting in the work. Hall put in the work.
And I think an excellent point of comparison would be when we brought J.R. Smith to town 10 years ago from the Knicks. I think we saw similar responses there. But I think
although he could be a bit of a head case, I remember him.
I've always said that, you know who I've compared him to? You're gonna consider this to be an off the wall point of comparison. Is that I've said Howie Roseman is the J.R. Smith of general managers. If you're a fan, a lot of the time you love him, but there's some of the time you hate him.
Listen, they fired Howie Roseman. This is his second go around, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the point is apt, I believe. But
when you
look at this, I mean, Carolina, again, doing it without, we said coming into the series, I mean, the best two players in the series, Eichel and Marner, clearly. But it's a thing where, again, Carolina with probably superior depth, definitely had superior health at the end here because Carlson.
And their defense finally picked it up. Slavin really started to pick it up, and that helped too.
That definitely helped. And again, Carolina, in the end, the last two games really kind of playing Carolina hockey once the series kind of settled down a little bit here. And it was, again, just an excellent series all the way around. And I'm going to say
– we could make a Disney movie about Brandon Bussey. We could. I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean
– it is.
Because nobody had that on their bingo card that he was going to lead them to the Stanley Cup. In an inadvertent way, because I remember watching the season saying, oh, look, he's actually getting a lot of playing time and he's doing pretty good. And that was a big shock to me. So, you know.
Yes. But as far as the switch being made, that's the thing here again, where maybe you're doing the right thing for your team being closed mouthed about the reason for it. Mm-hmm. But people will assume that performance is the reason unless you say health.
Correct.
And that's the thing. So it's one of those things where I didn't know that anything was physically wrong with Anderson. And
I knew he had to be hurt, though. I knew, knowing how Brind'Amour feels about Anderson, that he was never going to use Kochekov. It would have to be a complete injury to use him. So the Fakakta story is the best way I could say it, that they came up with. I did not buy it. And I said it on the show. I do not buy this because this is like, oh, this is an elite way to give him rest. No, it wasn't. And it wasn't. And so, like, yes, during the regular season, coaches do that. So a goalie could get a complete breather and you got some other guy playing third goalie, second goalie that night. That's fine.
Right.
This is the Stanley Cup. There's no tomorrow after this. So you don't do it then.
But I mean just even pulling him in the first place because that's the thing. And I didn't think about it, and I should have reflected on what you just said about Brind'Amour's feelings towards Anderson, because the first thing, and what I have a tendency to do a lot of times when I see this, is overmanaging. I tend to be accusatory on this because, again, it's a thing where what happens if you got to go back to the guy that you pulled?
Right.
And that's the thing where, like, I
got to
tell you, I had such malicious glee. I think it was in the Colorado-Minnesota series when the goalie switch was made for the Avs. And I'm like, this isn't going to end well, because that's the whole thing. Is that, like, most – I don't know what the statistics are. I'd love to see it, a breakdown if somebody has it. How often in the playoffs you have to go back to the original guy?
I don't know.
And that's the whole thing. Like, in the end, it makes sense. You find out Anderson was hurt and it makes sense. But until then, I was kind of like, why would Brind'Amour have done that? Like, it's working out, but why would he have done that in the first place?
So is that your Cookie Monster voice? Is that what that was?
It might be, yeah.
I think it was.
I have to say that in terms of the ESPN and ABC coverage here, potentially with the interviews there at the end, potentially Emily Kaplan dropping the ball, as it were, by not asking Rod Brind'Amour, okay, winning the Stanley Cup as a coach, How does that compare to spending quality time back in the day with a young Missy Hyatt? I would like to have seen how that. Wow.
Okay. I mean,
how that played out.
Boy, this show is just going into a ditch now.
Well,
I didn't know that was true.
Yes.
I've seen Missy Hyatt lately, and I'm just going to leave it all alone, man.
Russ, I said a young Missy Hyatt.
I understand.
Prime Missy.
But we don't know, we don't know how she acted in those days. That's what I'm getting at. I wasn't getting that looks at all.
Okay. But, okay. No. Well, the other thing, too, is that I will say here, another wrestling reference here I'll make. Was it Barry O that used to do the whole?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to do one of those, pat myself on the back for saying.
Oh, Rob Van Dam. No, Rob Van Dam used to.
Rob Van Dam also. Yeah. He might have taken
the
that
second
from,
guy.
Yeah. He might have taken that from Barry O.
I think so.
Yeah. So as somebody who has been saying for years that the league is negligent or whatever, anytime that they don't send their stars to the Olympics here, when you look at what the ratings were for, it's Carolina and Vegas. Come on. Okay.
I know that you weren't going to have a highly rated cup.
Was like the highest rated one since what? Like 2017, I think. Like this is the Olympic carryover, Russ.
Yeah.
You can admit it.
I guess I didn't think it was that high. But still, since 2017, it's only 9 years, but it's still, that's better than I thought it would do. I will say that. But I think probably what did it, and now that I'm thinking about it, I know what did it.
Okay.
The hate watching for Mitch Marner. That's what did it.
But Russ, they don't, of course, count the Canadian numbers.
It doesn't matter. You don't think there's Leaf fans in this country, like in Florida and other places? You're crazy. In Buffalo, I know Leaf fans. Like, come on, man.
Wait. There's a huge hidden contingent of Leaf fans in Florida?
Yeah.
There's a subculture of Leaf fans in Florida?
Yeah, I'm going to ask. I'm going to, yeah, keep going. Go ahead.
Canadian Sunbirds?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, look, file this under you learn something new every day. I was not aware of that sociological phenomenon that we were getting a lot of retirees from the Great White North heading down to Florida. But then again, you know, where are they going to go otherwise? Sudbury? So, you know, I guess it makes sense. So
here's what AI tells us. Toronto Maple Leaf fans often travel in massive numbers to cheer for their team. But, it does say that. Now, they're talking about away game stuff. But I know for a fact there's a lot of people that go for the winners.
Okay. All right. Well, then that would – maybe that had something to do with –
Now, this is not the winter, but I think there are probably people – Sure. All over. There are transplanted people all over the U.S. that are Leafs fans. Like, they're, you know, Will Arnett is a Leaf fan. He lives here. He lives in New York. But he is a Canadian, but he's a Leaf fan. He's a good example.
Although, oddly enough, I had a bowling buddy back in the late 90s that I used to also watch wrestling with at the time, who is a Leafs fan who moved to, you guessed it, Florida. So I guess that gives some evidence. He was not Canadian. He was just, I think, a front runner because they had a good
Remember, when the Panthers were bad, who do you think was, you know, going to games there?
Okay, Canadian. Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Could be. Doesn't that bring to mind, who was it? Bruce McCall, I think, that used to own the Kings.
McNall,
yeah. And that the quote was, I bought the team when I found out that there were 800,000 Canadian expatriates in the L.A. area. I thought that would be great. And he goes, and I realized they all moved here because they hate hockey.
But then he also bought a phony Honus Wagner with him and Wayne Gretzky. So that's a whole other show.
Is it? Okay, yeah. I'm sure you know all about
that. They thought it was real, but it was not.
Well, it was trimmed.
I think it was trimmed. It wasn't phony, but it was trimmed. Yeah.
Man, you learn an awful lot on this program here from time to
time. I interviewed Bruce once when he got out of jail.
Okay.
It was a great interview, I have to tell you.
Okay. Did he have any insight on Janet Gretzky's gambling habits, or was that
we didn't go there, Rick?
Oh, didn't go there. Okay, all right. Well, that's, and I understand this too. Sometimes you got to trim your sails with the important guests. So, you know, I've done that and had people scream at me for, why didn't you ask Steve Perry about Journey? Because I got instructions ahead of time not to, and I didn't want him to hang up. So, you know.
Well, to be fair, when we interviewed John Anderson, we talked about it, and he did too at the time, about getting kicked out of Yes. Remember? That was a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes it's okay to, but sometimes it's not okay to. Yeah, right. Exactly. You got to know. you gotta know when is when. I will say for we had a John Anderson, of course, on this show as well. That was a tremendous.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I meant.
Yeah. And that was right about when. Because I think you were part of that too. Were you? Not?
I was. Yeah, it was on Blog Talk.
I thought you were. Okay.
Yeah, we did it on Blog Talk, and my Blog Talk blew up when we did it live.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, that was right about the same time we had Christopher Cross on the show.
Yeah.
And
that was
a thing where and it was like. And he was like the perfect guy to answer the question that everybody always wonders. Like the question I put to him, like, is mailbox money a real thing? Because like, who would be a better expert than this guy, right?
Right.
And he was like, it exists, but it's not nearly what people think it is. So right. I'm like, okay, all right, yeah. I mean, listen, if that guy is not, you know, fat off the hog off of three, you know, early 80s,
he's
mega
still touring, like, so he can't be like totally set for life, but. He's talented. I saw him about 2 summers ago, and it's not my style of music, but here's what you forget about Christopher Cross. Mm-hmm. He's a great guitar player.
Yes, he is. He's
a very really accomplished guitar player. He may not shred like an Eddie Van Halen, but he's got a great style.
Yeah, but he doesn't try to. That's not really his style and everything like that. So, you know, but so as we go to take a look at this here with Carolina winning the cup, we now start to head into you know, this very active off-season point in time.
Which already started with the Flyers making a trade today. I get in there for the draft conversation. I'm there a little early. Trade's announced. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Okay, so you had that. You'll be covering the NHL entry draft next week. Start a free agency coming there.
I'll be on the radio doing the draft show with SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. So, I'll be there.
And free agency, again, it's not like there's
it's not next week. It's the 27th, 28th. You know, it's coming up.
And then toward the end of the next week or Friday into Saturday. And then after that, free agency.
Actually, 28th, 29th, 27th, I'll be there. But
okay, 20. Yeah. All right. And then just from working on the free agency piece that I'm doing for the hockey guide here. Of course, again, not much of a class to write home about, but if we're talking about off-season transactions, there's one potential move out there that's bigger than probably anything that will happen in free agency. And just to be accountable and have to weigh in on a very, very painful subject, I'd rather get caught in my zipper than talk about this, but I will be accountable the whole thing. There is a debate right now in Wings Nation about who do you blame, Yzerman or Larkin? And I'm like, and I agree with there's a Detroit talk show host that I was listening to, and I agree. I'm like, why choose? It's not a zero sum game. Like,
I think it's a zero sum game. I think it's entirely Steve Yzerman, because Larkin signed that deal with the expectation that team was going to get better, and he wants to win, and he wanted to be there, but he also wanted Steve Yzerman to trade for Quinn Hughes, and Steve Yzerman balked at it because he didn't want to give up Simone Edvinson. But you know what? Quinn Hughes is special. You do it, and then you hope that Quinn Hughes, because he's friends with Larkin, will sign a long-term deal. But you don't get to that point if you don't make the trade, and he didn't make the trade. And you know what? He didn't make the playoffs either.
If that's what happened, then I agree with you, but I heard the Quinn Hughes vetoed coming to Detroit.
No, so, I don't believe that's true.
Okay, then I agree with you.
I don't know this for certain, but I had heard that he had interest in going there, and they kind of like did not want to pay the price.
Okay, then if that happened, then I agree with you. Yeah. That should have happened.
If not, then I'm with the other guy.
But I would also say too with Larkin, and I'm not a Larkin hater or anything like that.
No, I like him.
He was hurt this year down the stretch, but the collapses of the last couple of years, there's no he was hurt asterisk. He was a part of those collapses.
Yeah.
So I mean but the other thing is too.
But then also, you know, they picked up Craig Smith 2 years ago as their big pickup, and he scored like 2 points in like 15 games. Instead of making real trades. I mean, so this is on Steve Yzerman.
I've been screaming for real trades for years now.
And then you traded a first round pick this year for not John Carlson. Who they
traded? Falk. They traded for Justin Falk.
Terrible trade.
That was an awful trade.
But that's why I believe the Quinn Hughes thing, because he knew when he wasn't going to do the Hughes thing, he was going to have to double down on a trade and hope for the best. And I think that's what he did.
Well, yeah, and that's where, you know, when I look at that, I would just say that the thing about Larkin turning 30, you know who else has just turned 30 or is about to or whatever?
Paris Hilton.
No, I was going to say Miles
Garrett. I mean, how old is she, do you know?
I'm not older than
I'm gonna
that.
Look it up. You think she's older?
Yeah, like 20 years ago, she was a big thing, and the world wasn't.
Oh, yeah, she's 45. I didn't realize she's that old. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, like the world's not a bunch of perverts, Russ. She was huge 20 years ago, and by your math, she would have been 10. So,
oh,
yeah,
stop. No, I lost track of time there.
But anyways, I was going to say Myles Garrett, and it's kind of the same thing, is that Myles Garrett wasn't on the Browns timetable anymore, and I don't think Larkin's on the Wings timetable, because they might be needing another rebuild at this point. It's probably going to become
one. Are they going to keep Steve Yzerman through another rebuild?
Well, and that's the whole thing,
too.
They're
going to wait 15 years for the playoffs?
Yeah,
they're
going to
be like the Sabres.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. It's painful. And, like, look, you know, what I don't get is again, Gary Bettman came from the NBA. The NBA, it's a thing of like, was it a coincidence that like Wemby went to the Spurs? Was it a coincidence Cooper Flagg went to Dallas after the Luka trade? Come on, like, where's our get back on this? Come on, man. Like, it's in the league's best interest to have a winner in Hockey Town. So
you know what? You're not allowed to. You got LeBron. Now you're not getting it for your hockey team. That's the way it is.
Well, it didn't even happen with LeBron when he was here the first time. He had to come back for that to happen. That's which fair. Had nothing to do with draft luck. But, yeah, so ultimately, yeah, that'll be a bigger story probably, Larkin, than anything that happens in free agency, because there's not a player out there, with the exception of Makar. But I think we all assume Makar's probably headed back. Colorado can't afford to let him go, can they? I mean, that's,
no, he's coming
no.
back.
He's, yeah, I mean, so that's one of those kabuki.
They just traded Ross Colton, so they right. saved $4 million on the cap. So yeah.
Exactly. So there's our little bit of a look ahead after a look back at what was a tremendous Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
Very interesting year in the NHL, and as always, a blast covering it with you, Russ Cohen. Thank you so much for making
it.
Time to be
always
here.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. Always fun with you, my friend. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1933.